So the session I want to talk about is basically about, it's just some reflections. This is not the goal, well, the holy grail of Microsoft. This is what you need to be doing, and this is going to be the impact of your business. No, this is just a couple of reflections from our perspective, and I just want to share them with you, okay? So that we have to see, are we thinking alike? Are we completely wrong? Because then we have to adapt. So that's basically the idea. Before I will dive into the session as such, I would like to, very high level, go over cloud, what cloud means, very quick, because I think some of you have probably already seen a lot of this, what is cloud and what is Microsoft doing with the cloud. Nevertheless, I want to have, let's say, 4 or 5 slides to make sure that we are talking about the same thing. Okay. So first of all, and this is a classic one, cloud is very simple. It's not hype anymore. Okay, it's a big shift. The shift is happening. It started in 2008, 2007, something about that, primarily driven by two factors. Cost. I mean, the crisis helped us a lot for pushing cloud. That's one. Secondly, another driver in this is because some of the players like Amazon, Microsoft, Google invested quite a lot in existing infrastructure. We have our data centers there. We didn't do that because we believed in cloud. Let's be honest. For instance, Microsoft invested a lot in server infrastructure because we had Hotmail running. Google had the same with Gmail. Amazon had it with their bookstore. So those are two drivers where suddenly, with the crisis, and cost became very important for CIOs, we see the cloud becoming hype, home hype becoming reality. So another thing I want to say about this is it's a big shift. It's not a shift for everyone. There are still people using the mainframes as of today. If it doesn't fit your model, then it's maybe better not to go into cloud, okay? Because there are risks associated with that as well. So it's just, we strongly believe from Microsoft, you should have a clear look at your business, make a business case, okay? Focus on that first, and if you see, okay, this makes sense, then yes, start moving. But it's not a must as such, okay? Cloud. Two things. What's cloud? Very simple. It's elasticity, dynamic growing and shrinking of your environment. Secondly, it's also pay-per-use. Okay. This is very broad. This is what analysts, if they talk about cloud, they're usually talking about this. One of the things you can see there is they are not mentioning public, private, or hosted, or any of those terminology. This fits within Microsoft Vision as well. We talk about cloud and we talk about capabilities. Your capabilities should be highly automated, it should be elastic, it should be agile, it should be all those things. Independent where you're running it on-premise, in our own data centers or at a hoster. So location is not part of that equation. Some additional information. If you look what Gartner is predicting in 2012, then, well, you see it's more than just hype. Okay. It is becoming a clear business for many, many, many customers. So again, we went from a hype model, and I'm sure a lot of players played a role in that hyping. But really, when we look at the Belgian market, when we look at the European market, and also in the North American market, cloud is really happening. Okay. Another thing is, and maybe that's an interesting, if you look at the amount of spending that we're going to do, or that's happening, according to IDC, I mean, it's growing. Huh? I think Gartner also said that they predict that 12% or 18% of next year of the businesses will have everything of their infrastructure running outsourced or within a public cloud, or in some cloud infrastructure, but not on-premise. So again, these are indicators that a lot of stuff is moving to the cloud space. Okay, and this is why Microsoft, and this is why we do this event. Because for us, it's also trying to find and understand how can we make that transition? How can we assist? Because there's a clear need from the customers to move into the cloud. It's not the vendors who are saying, you have to do cloud. No, it's the customer saying, look, I'm very high pressure on budget. What can you do to help me? It's not the other way around. Okay? Like I said, Microsoft has cloud offerings and is helping the customers. But the demand is coming from the business. It's not coming from the vendors itself. Okay. Just cost. How is cost associated and how can cloud help you push your cost? Just a quick overview. Typically, the blue line is a load of an application. Whatever, a service. Can be one application, can be a combination of an application. It's a service that needs to be running. Typically what we see is when you reach a peak moment, how do you deal with that? As an IT department, you can do two things. Either you don't do anything, which might result in either, well, a server crash and your service being out of business, which might result in business loss. That's one. Or you can add additional machines. You can provision your service. The problem there is, what if the peak is gone? You still are stuck with those machines. Okay? Because you have done an investment in a certain amount of hardware, you're stuck with it. You don't know when the peak is going to happen again. But you did it. That's one problem. The second problem is even worse is, how much time do you need to provision? It's quite possible that you managed to provision, but the peak might be gone. So it's even worse then. You had bought hardware, you have provisioned additional hardware, or even virtualized hardware if you want, but it wasn't there when you needed it. Okay. Now, cloud, basically what it does is it allows you to have your infrastructure grow dynamically with your business, with your scenario, with your business case if you want. Okay. So if you need, if you have a high impact thing going on within your organization, well, it will provide you that hardware. After a while, you don't need it anymore. It will just remove. So the time, or actually the fact that you only spend for what you need, the pay-per-use model, is where you can save the cost. Okay, that's just one. There are additional things on that as well, and I will talk about it as well. Service types, just quickly, just to make sure we have a common understanding. There are three types of clouds, if you want. Compared to a traditional data center where you own and manage everything, we have on the one hand infrastructure as a service. It means you have a number of, well, the vendor or your platform, if you have it on premise, is automated and is managed, and on top of that you can put virtual machines on there. So that's basically an infrastructure as a service. Very simple. All right? So it means you manage the top layer, everything below is highly automated, agile and everything. Platform as a service goes a step beyond that. It means that on top of that infrastructure, we also have a number of runtimes running there. So it can go from an application, it can go from a certain runtime like a Java runtime, something which is managed by the platform. It's not managed by your team, it's not managed by your department, it's managed by the platform as such. And then the third one, software as a service, of course, that's where all the applications are already there, and basically you can configure the applications. Okay. Just to make sure we have good understanding. Again, just to reiterate, if you look what Microsoft thinks what cloud computing is, and I talked about the location, that is not coming into any of those visions, if you want. Just to reiterate that, for Microsoft, it's very simple. If you want to talk cloud, it means you need a platform. It needs to be elastic. It needs to be highly automated, okay? Highly available, multi-tenancy. Independent of location. And it's up to the business to decide, okay, depending on certain criteria, where that cloud will happen. Will it happen on-premise? Because, for instance, let's say you have a data sovereignty issue, between brackets, whatever it might mean. It means, in that sense, that you have data, you do not want to have your data going outside your boundaries of your company. Does it mean you can't do cloud? No, of course you can do cloud. You will do cloud on-premise. So it's up to the customer and his business cases to decide where is that cloud going to reside. And as Rudy will say, in the end, in the hybrid cloud, it means part will be running on-premise, part will be running at a hoster, and another part might be running within Microsoft data center. So again, the whole equation of location is not there. If you ask Microsoft what's the vision about cloud, it means that you have a certain business case. With that business case, you're going to use a number of technologies to implement it. And then where you host it or where you put it to have it running, it's less important. It's more depending on your constraints, the risks you want to take, costs, functional requirements, non-functional requirements, whatever it is. But it's the customer who is in the driver's seat when we talk about cloud. Another way of putting why cloud is so, I don't like this one, okay, someone is calling me. That's interesting. So it's going to be on the recording. Excellent. Now, another way of looking at cloud, what can cloud do for your business? The iceberg principle, 10%, 90%. Okay. Basically, you want to focus from a business perspective on your software and your hardware doing their thing, delivering the service that you want so your business can work. That's basically what you want. The problem is, however, if you want to have those two up and running full time, it means you have to do a whole bunch of other things. You don't want to do them, but you have to do them. Otherwise, those two top things will not work. It's very simple. So it means you have to do backups. You have to make sure your security is good. You have to do re-imaging of machines. You have to do all that management, patching, everything. Just to make sure that you can do those two. What it means is, if you look at, especially from three different levels, because there are three profilations going on, it means on the app model, it means that the way you deploy applications, you need to manage that. It means that the way how you look at an application, you need to take into account. So it means you have to put a whole bunch of processes in place just to have that application. Do you want to do that, all that management before? No. In the end, you're only interested in the end result. You want to have the application. You want to have your service. That's one. Hardware model, the same thing. How do you deal with hardware? Do you want to buy hardware? Do you want to purchase hardware and provision it and all that? In the end, no. You want to have the hardware being there, being able to run your application. The same for operations. Do you want to do management of the operations environment? In the end, no. Is it something you have to do nowadays? Yes. Do you really want it? No. You want to have your application up to date, always the latest version, etc., etc., etc. So again, if you look at that 9 versus 10%, if you could fix that with the cloud and basically moving that bottom to the cloud, what you get then is, it means you can go 10 times faster than the market, 10 times more efficient, and 10 times cheaper, because you're removing that 90%. Sounds a lot like marketing, okay? But let's say if it's only multiplied by 2, or maybe 3, not 10. That's what cloud really can bring. Just by removing that bottom, move it to the cloud, maybe only a part of it, maybe completely. But these are the three drivers where you can have a huge benefit on. It means that you become competitive. It means your organization is going to run more efficient. You're going to do a lot more with less money. Okay? And in the end, it's going to indeed be cheaper to operate your operations. In the end, it means from an IT perspective that you move your service in just being a service as being a professional service. Okay? And that's basically the promise that cloud is bringing. Okay? It's basically saying, look, whatever you have below the water, the bottom side of the iceberg, let's focus on that so that you as a business can focus on the top two things. Having your application and having your hardware available to having your application be running. That's basically what cloud is doing. Okay. Talked about this already. Just as a reference, the three different types. Just as a reference to say where we are positioned and where are the competitors. Because it's always interesting to know. I'm sure you read about Amazon, you read about Google, read about all the other players as well in the market, just to make sure that we know where we are. I make the distinction between infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service, and between public and private. It means the Google and Salesforce are there, public only, software as a service, very simple. Amazon is infrastructure as a service, public only. And then we have, I think it's VMware, and Oracle, primarily infrastructure as a service, no public offering, but running at a customer on premise or at a hosting. Okay. But if you look for Microsoft, basically, and I talked about IT as a service, right now we are the only one, if you want to put it like that, who is capable of running in all the quadrants, independent of that location. And I can't emphasize it enough, and that's exactly what Rudy will do as well. Location is not important. It's about having your team, your people, your tools, your processes optimized, running more efficient, cheaper in operations, allowing you to give all the benefits from cost, but also from allowing you to do innovation if you want, without where the actual application is running. If you choose to have your application running on-premise, I'm going to give you all the tools and all the means, also the processes, allowing you to do that in an efficient way as possible. If you want to do part of that application at a hoster, or in public data centers at Microsoft, we'll provide you the tools. Okay. Good. Rise of cloud computing. Rise of the machines, Star Wars, if you want. 80% of all enterprise managers are currently evaluating cloud. It's a big number. Does it mean that they're all going to be successful in it? No, definitely not. Some will be very successful, others will fail miserably. Why? Well, because cloud is more than just a piece of technology. It's about tools, people, and processes. It's always the same. Tools is easy. Something you can buy, something you can install, something you can learn and teach other people. People and processes, that's where it starts getting hard, okay? Nevertheless, if you look at Microsoft's offerings, we're offering tools and we're offering the processes. We also have the people, but we assume that we are responsible for bringing the processes and the tools within your company. Okay. Nevertheless, this is a big challenge. We are learning a lot from this, and we are putting this in the market. But 80% is currently going through this process. This is actually a result. This cloud council, if you want, is a result of this. Okay? Because some people within your organization have been triggered, have been reading about cloud, are starting to try out what cloud means. Okay. I will just skip this slide for now. Again, if you talk about cloud, a couple of things that are important. And I already mentioned that I won't keep on repeating all the benefits. I think by now it should be clear. There are a couple of things why you would do cloud. First of all, the agility. I think that's a very straightforward one. Nowadays, being competitive is good. It's a necessity. The problem is how to achieve that. You always have your time needed to be competitive. This is basically agility. Yeah? If you talk about agility, it means how fast can your company address a competitive issue, if you want. Let's put it like that. How fast can your business decide from, we're going to do this and put something in the market? So definitely cloud is helping you there. Because you don't have to focus on how I'm going to deploy my application. How do I need to purchase hardware? You don't need to think about it. Basically what you want is, I have an application, I'm going to put it in the cloud. And if you want, as a matter of a couple of days, it's live, it's running. Okay. Return on investments, like I said as well, the more you can innovate, your cost as well will drop. Okay? Because in the end, when you outsource that 90% of the iceberg, your cost will drop. Okay? The reason why it's a drop is very simple. Commodity and scale, where cloud is based. If you look at Microsoft, we have about 300,000 servers running. It's very hard to compete with that. You can have your 20, 50, or 100, or 2,000 servers even then. If you look at the cost and the cost reduction that we can do by just having that scale, that's amazing. Okay? We have optimized our data centers in such a way that the cost is now 14.9 times cheaper if you would do it yourself, meaning on a single server unit, which is a huge difference. So it means if you have 10 servers and you take 10 servers out of the data center, it's going to be 14.9 times cheaper at us. That's basically what it is.
Your system is cheaper also.
Yes, it's very cheap. It's true. Another advantage of the cloud, if you deploy on Windows Azure, for instance, there's no license cost. You don't pay for Windows. You pay for the service. You pay for the management. You pay for the whole thing behind it. You don't pay the license. So again, cost reduction. And it will result in the end, in a pay-per-use. You have used our service for 1 hour. You're going to pay for 1 hour. Whether this is license now, or management cost, or deployment cost, or whatever it is, the 90% of the iceberg, it's all come together basically in what you pay for the hour. And it's up to you to say, look, is this amount, am I willing to pay that? Yes or no? Is it competitive? And the competitiveness we get from the fact that we are handling things on such a large scale. So the prices drop. If you see, for instance, an example, in Microsoft data centers, 3,000 servers are now handled by one person. I mean, automatically you can see the cost reduction. This is huge. And again, this didn't come over one night. Eh? This came because we have been investing 10 years in that kind of technology. Because Hotmail is a free service. So then you have all benefits, or at least all the indications to make it as cheap as possible. So that's a direct result of that. You offer a free service, well, it still costs a lot of money. So there is, I mean, people perceive it as being free, but for Microsoft it's not free. So Microsoft had to do everything to keep it as low cost as possible. And those are the benefits you see nowadays when you look at our cloud solutions. On the other hand, what you also see is that we are taking those know-how and those lessons learned, and we're putting them also, or we allow you to put that on-premise as well. Again, cloud is about a set of capabilities, independent where you run it. Of course, I will admit, compared to a lot of customers, Microsoft is well more advanced because of the 10 years investment. What we have now, and this is the hybrid cloud story of Rudy, is that we are making everything at the same level. So that the private cloud, or on-premise cloud if you want, and the public cloud at the same level, and then you can leverage the whole thing as one hybrid cloud. Okay. Empowerment and IT efficiency, I think the efficiency is also very straightforward. Anyways, another picture, I don't know if you can see it, but again, the innovation. I like to talk about innovation. Just saying how it looks like. If you look at the traditional way of doing IT, you have your budget for managing your IT stack, and then you allocate a certain budget to do more innovation, okay? Because that's what you need. If you want to be competitive, you need to innovate. Otherwise, after three or five years, your competitor is doing better than you, and your business will just disappear, okay? Now, if you would outsource it, the problem is that we see is pure outsourcing means I'm going to take my IT department and I'm going to give it to a third party. What we see is that in the end, you thought of saving, well, the idea was of saving costs, but in the end, you end up doing vendor management. Actually, more if you would take the whole thing, and your innovation buffer is becoming smaller. Because outsourcing is basically losing control. It means losing control, we don't like that. We want to have more processes in place, and we're going to start talking about with the vendor, and we're going to make sure that everything is running, because he wants to make a good profit as well, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, it means your innovation budget is just disappearing. Okay? One way of doing things is kind of a mix. It's having managed services. You see that the innovation budget is growing, but you still have that managed, that vendor management layer. Okay? With cloud, and again, a little bit marketing, okay? Nevertheless, in cloud is the fact that there is vendor management, in this case Microsoft. But with the fact of the scale and the highly advanced, the experience we have in all doing this, and everything related, it means that your budget for innovation, again, for becoming more competitive, is quite large. And it's actually larger than you would do traditional or any of the other models. Again, 90% of the iceberg. I keep on saying that because I really like that analogy. Okay? Again, I don't know if it's benefits to go over each of these things again. I think it's pretty clear already. If you would choose to go for infrastructure as a service, what are the benefits? Okay? If you look at an infrastructure today, about 50% of your servers are used. That's an IDC study. It means if you have an application running, typically application, if you take a departmental application, it's used 8 hours, let's say an average. Still, you have a server standing there for 24 hours. So utilization is about 33%. But you can see the big picture. So if you go infrastructure as a service, it's a completely different thing. Okay. There it's really used, and you pay for what it's being used. Automation, it's a little bit black and white, or light blue, dark blue if you want. Of course, there is automation in companies. Eh? But I told you already, with the experience that Microsoft have, one person for 3,000 servers, this is really highly, highly, highly automated. It does not mean zero human intervention. Eh? There's still that one person is still necessary. And if you pay the service per hour, part of his paycheck is paid with that. That's just reality. We don't believe that we are there yet where there's no human intervention needed. Okay? But again, that's low server to IT, high server to IT, 3,000 to 1, and all the rest. I mean, basically, I think it's pretty obvious. The next one is basically around platform as a service. There it's actually very simple. It's actually only one message I want to give is If you look at the platform today, we see that a lot of IT departments are focusing on the platform, management of the platform, building, patching, while in the end it should be about the app, not about the runtimes needed to have those apps running. It should be around the app. If you talk about platform as a service, you're talking about the application. You're not talking about the platform. We have a platform, and we do have a platform as a service, but it means for us that you do not have to worry anymore about the platform, so that you can focus on what I'm going to put on top of the platform. So it means a number of runtimes will be in there, managed for you. So you don't have to worry, your IT department does not need to know, okay, what's the service management and the version management of this runtime and this and this and this. A whole lot of time is now spent within an IT department just trying to figure out which version of what application is using what. It's amazing. While in the end, it should not be important. The same with service packs and all those things, problem hot fixes, all those things associated with the platform should not be the main focus of your IT department. It should be around the service, and in this case, the app it is providing. Yeah. Then software as a service is even more straightforward. There's even a step beyond that. You don't even care about the app anymore. What you care about is you trust that the vendor will have the app running. And basically what you're focusing on is the number of accounts which are provisioned in there, which is user-based, and basically you're just going to use it and you trust the vendor that the application will be up and running. So even the application that you try to deploy is not important anymore. It's really about the service. Okay. Good. Questions? Everyone pretty quiet? Now, if you talk about cloud, there are a couple of things that you need to consider, because I told you in the beginning that cloud is not for everyone. Cloud is just a big paradigm shift. Some people will go for it, and of those who will go for it, some will be successful, others will fail. Because moving to the cloud is more than just saying, look, I have a service, I'm going to deploy it. There are a whole bunch of things you have to think about. I already mentioned one, data sovereignty. Where is my data stored? It's something which is important. Because do you want to have your data leave your data center? Yes or no? If you keep it on-premise, do I have the right people to have a cloud set up for that? It's more than just tools. Again, it's tools, process, and people. Physical control is a typical one. Application model. How is my application and how do I deploy my applications? This we see as a huge pain point at customers right now. Because they deploy applications and they have to go through the testing phase, etc., etc. How do you handle that? Is it compatible with the cloud? Maybe it isn't. So it means there's a lot more going on than just a piece of technology. It means that your team structure, the way you work as a team, the way you develop applications might have to change. So keep that into account as well. What are you going to do with your existing infrastructure? You're going to keep it there? You're going to sell it? You're going to rent it? I mean, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that in the next couple of years? So because you made a huge investment in hardware. The compliance, geographic proximity, yes. If you go, for instance, for a public cloud, you can't choose to have a public cloud next door. You will have to make a trade-off between latency, sometimes location and compliance there. Do you want to have your data stored in the States? Does it have to be in Europe? Things like that. It's important. So all those things, if you go to cloud, these are the things that you need to think about before actually making the move. This is an exercise you need to do before even touching cloud as such, because they are important. Scenarios. Typical ones, just to make sure, how can I detect? Because we get a lot of customers in that. Eh? Yes, but cloud is very interesting, but where can I use it? Or typical, even worse, is we get a lot of customers, yes, but cloud is only for marketing campaigns where you need a lot of machines. No, it's not true. There are a couple of scenarios you can easily identify. And I'm hoping to explain them to you so that you, within your organization, can see, okay, those scenarios are very useful. This is where cloud could be very beneficial. First, on off. You have a backup service running or a printer job running for a couple of hours and that's it. Instead of buying a dedicated server, Why not just put the thing in the cloud, having a service running for 4 hours? The machine gets automatically provisioned. It does a thing, whatever it is, backupping or printing something, and then the machine dies again. In the end, you pay 4 hours. No hardware infrastructure needed, nothing. Just do the job, come back, on, off. Growing fast, you know you have an application, and you expect to have a growth in your application. Because your business, you expect you have done your homework very well. You expect, okay, we're going to attract new customers. The problem is you have no idea when it's going to happen. It might happen next week. It might take a month. It might take 2 months. But you expect the growth. Instead of provisioning for the worst case, you can just let the cloud do its thing. It will grow automatically, depending on your needs. So will your bill. But I assume if you grow, you're willing to pay the bill. Unpredictable bursting. It's an interesting one, because sometimes it happens you change something somewhere and it has a huge impact on the IT department. I'll give an example, Iceland, the burst. If you would look to all the businesses running air companies, flight companies, all of them were crashing. Because none of the IT departments or the infrastructure there could handle the load. Same example now, the Olympics. We have the Olympics coming out, nice websites, you could buy tickets. After 3 hours, the site was just down, gone completely. Sometimes it's hard to expect or hard to predict what's going to happen. So unpredictable bursting is helping that. Predictable bursting is a more obvious one. It means end of quarter, end of fiscal, end of year. Another example is tax on web, typical one. When do you fill in your taxes? 1 week before the deadline. You know it's going to happen. So it's predictable. Nevertheless, you're still going to have a burst. These are typical scenarios we always talk about, but there are more. An interesting one is, I want to try something now. I do not want to wait until I have gone over the catalog of which hardware we need to buy, or do I have to set up with the architecture board of what's the compliance, etc. I want to try something. I have an idea, and I want to test it out. Okay. So, just try it out. The infrastructure is there. You can just put it in a couple of hours, actually a couple of minutes if you want. Service is up and running, provisioned on the net, wherever it is, and it's doing its thing. Departmental, the same. Sometimes you have that typical application. It's an interesting application, but you don't want to go through the whole process. For instance, let's say HR needs a new application. They have something for the next 3 months, they want to have a survey. But you can choose. Either I go through the whole process of setting up and getting all the hardware approved, and going to the management boards, etc., etc., etc. Well, by then, the 3 months are just gone. Maybe you just want to put that survey application right now in there, send a mail to everyone. Hey, we have 10 questions. Could you please answer? Application quickly in the cloud. On the other hand, we also see store just data in the cloud. Just put your data. Keep your computation on-premise in your private cloud. Just to store your data somewhere public cloud. That's also an interesting scenario. Extend to the cloud, and that's the story that really will bring. You start with the private cloud, and then you grow, depending on your needs, depending on your constraints sometimes as well, where you just grow into the public cloud, if you want. Migrate existing, and then, of course, the new hybrid services. The hybrid services, that's when all the clouds offerings will be there, then you will see starting picking up on that one. Okay, it's hard to imagine now, right now, what's going to happen there, but nevertheless, we expect a lot from that. Also important, just to give you a couple of applications which are typically in the cloud. It's not about CRM only. Okay, payroll, financing, even in manufacturing. I mean, we see a lot of people just thinking when they're thinking cloud, oh yeah, it's going to be a contact management or it's going to be web campaign-driven thing. No, there's a whole bunch of applications you can just move into the cloud. Try to think outside the typical, well, outside the box if you want. Okay. We also created a whole list of additional scenarios, and we can share you the data. It's basically top 27 scenarios that we think or we see where cloud can actually be beneficial. Okay. So for each of these cases, we have worked out the pros, the cons, the expected loads, the expected investments. So we can share the data with you. And it's actually very interesting to see. Because typically, I think for all of us, there will be one or two cases which are very recognizable within your own business. Okay.
So, and this is a little bit the same. We focused a lot on the 27, and then we focused a lot on around the 17. So it's ranging from going from media, pure media streaming, to e-shopping. I mean, everything is in there. Okay. But these are the key scenarios that we identified as being, okay, this is really interesting. This is where cloud can really provide a benefit to you. Offerings. Drink a little bit. I think I'm talking a little bit too fast, actually. I just want to talk about a little bit about our offerings, because we have talked now about what cloud can mean for your business in general. We talked about the concept. We talked about the different aspects. We also talked about the scenarios. Now, how do you implement this now? How do you start with cloud? I mean, what are the building blocks that we can do, okay? First of all, if you look at what's possible with cloud, this I already mentioned that, yeah, most of the stuff. An interesting one, I think, is this one. Again, it's about the app. In the end, you don't want to be aware of how much management it costs to you to have a new version available of your application within your data center. This is something you don't want to think about. Basically, what you want is, I want to have that application. Again, do you really want to spend a lot of money on management? No. Okay. So that's a different one. Definitely one. This one, of course, as well, matching capacity to demand. Again, that's where the huge cost reduction is coming from. Okay. And then faster time to market. The more and the faster I can put something in the market, the more competitive I become. If your neighbor has a service XYZ running, you want to be there the day after with something better. Okay. I put it very black and white, but in reality, that's what it is. Okay? Oops, sorry. If you look at the numbers, what we have today, and just to give you an indication, 84% of people, of companies, are currently running in traditional data center. Okay? It's a lot. Quite a lot. Okay? If you look at the infrastructure, and the private cloud primarily, we have 12%. If you look at the public, PaaS, platform as a service, public and private, well, the number speaks for itself. Okay? Now, if you combine that with what Gartner believes and Forrester believes and what's going to happen in tomorrow, then the numbers are a little bit different. A big shift will happen on this aspect. So it means that as a company, you better be prepared. Okay. It might not impact you directly. You might still say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stick to what I'm doing. Of course, your competitor, he will do it. Because this is what, of course, the numbers could be wrong. And they could be wrong 5, maybe 10%. They're not going to be completely wrong. This is based on studies not done by Microsoft. It's based by IDC, based by Gartner, the big ones, just to see what's happening. Now, 45% will move to the infrastructure as a service. Again, I make the difference, make the differentiation between public and the private. Public, we see, for instance, that's what I already mentioned, like Gartner expects that, for instance, that 18% of companies will outsource everything. They are part of that as well. And it's primarily focusing on infrastructure as a service, having your machines virtualized, optimized, highly managed, highly automated. Right? Platform as a service is still not there yet. Okay? But this is the next step, focusing on the app. Currently, we are in growing pains. Huh? We have a lot of infrastructure running. We focus a lot on the management. The next step is going to be, let's virtualize, let's get it highly automated. And then the next step will be in the next 2, 3, 4 years. Okay. Let's focus on the app. So we're actually scaling down the bottom of that iceberg. Okay. And of course, then this is, again, I make a differentiation between the public and the private thing. We see if people choose for going platform as a service right now, they don't have the know-how in-house to set up a platform as a service because it requires a lot of knowledge. it requires the runtime management and everything related to that. So what we see is that, or we expect that people, if they choose for platform as a service, they will go public first. Okay. How to get there, and this is where I really will focus a lot on. We have a number of things, layers to assist you with that. So on the development, we have our suites and our runtimes. On the management, the key, the flagship, if you want, the System Center, period. System Center allows you to manage on-premise your cloud infrastructure at a hoster, if you want, or within our own data center. So it means that you can have an application running within Windows Azure, the public cloud, still being managed by System Center. So that's our flagship in managing and maintaining. Virtualization, of course, everything is running on Hyper-V. And then, of course, the Active Directory. And that's an interesting one. And also, Rudy will talk about that. We get a lot of questions about the customers, about Active Directory. Yes, it's fine. We are using Active Directory. We're happy, etc. We do use it for authentication, authorization. I don't want to go to the public cloud because do I need to set up an Active Directory there? Do I need to replicate all my data? No. Rudy will show you that. It's perfectly possible within our offerings to have an Active Directory locally and still use a public cloud communicating to the Active Directory in a secure way and in a standardized way. So again, Microsoft's vision is when we talk about cloud, it's not about public versus private. It's about the hybrid cloud. Okay. It's about keeping your assets depending on your constraints. Like, for instance, Active Directory might be sensitive for your perspective. You want to have it locally, because you have a number of other applications also using it. Does it mean you can't do cloud? No, of course you can do cloud. You can do cloud on-premise, but you can also do cloud public while still reusing those existing assets. Again, allowing you to save time and save money. Okay. I think this is the main and the key thing, and this will make the connect to Rudy's presentation. For us, the whole private and public, it's important, and it's something that customers and people know, the concept of private and public. But it's never going to be black or white. It's not going to be, I'm going to move all my applications in the public cloud, I'm going to move all my applications in the private cloud, or keep them on-premise. No. You're going to have that mixture. And Microsoft is working very hard to make that happen with all kinds of investments. But also, it's more than just investments. It's also reality, what's already available. And again, that's what Rudy will talk about. Okay, a couple of things we already have. Of course, the Active Directory you can have at Hyper-V System Center and Visual Studio. Next steps. First of all, try to partner with an advisor. Cloud is not an easy thing to do. It isn't. And I don't want to give you a marketing story of, oh, cloud is very interesting and all nice. You should start with it tomorrow. Yes, you should start with it tomorrow. But keeping into account the 8 or 9 criteria that you need to think about. It's not something that, okay, let's just jump on that ship and just do it. No. It will explode in your face if not paid attention. Okay. So it's something, take an advisor, either a partner or Microsoft, or it doesn't matter. Take a trusted partner and go through that whole process. Make a clear analysis of your business case. See, is my organization there where it should be? Do I have the tools? Do I have the people? And do I, more importantly, do I have all the processes in place allowing me to make that jump to the cloud? Okay, that's one. Then, of course, next steps, if you are ready to do the cloud, of course, you can have a couple of resources available. We have a number of partners as well available. One side remark I want to give, we are also ramping up a number of trusted partners within the market. I think 4 or 5 partners who are trained by our data center specialists, who have access to all the tools and all the toolkits we have as well. So if you are interested and you are planning on doing something related to cloud, let me know or let Carline or Rudy know, and then I can get you in touch with those partners. Okay. These partners are really, they follow training within Microsoft Data Center. Microsoft people are flying over to Belgium to get them trained. They analyze their data centers. I mean, because we are... We realize cloud is it's not an easy thing to do from a technical perspective. It's not an easy thing to do from a governance perspective. So we put that assistance also in the market. We do not expect that customers will do the ramp up completely on themselves. No. Okay. And that's about it, I think. Of course, our offerings and a couple of resources, but that's less important for now. So, thank you. Any questions? I'm sorry for speedy, but... But my question is maybe to you, I mean, who is from you already active investigating cloud?
Investigating?
Yeah, I'm talking investigating. I'm not doing trialing, so you're not part of that
8%. We are part of the 80%.
You're part of the 80%? Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're just trying to see, and what's stopping you, or for the people who are not? Is it lack of interest? Is it lack of communication? Is it lack of what exactly is stopping you or blocking you to do cloud? Is it because the business model doesn't fit? Just to have a good understanding of why not cloud. I mean, there are obvious reasons why people don't do cloud. Eh? I already told you, if you don't have the business case, you don't have to do it. I mean, it's that simple. So I'm trying to figure out what are the reasons for not doing cloud. Or even if you do cloud, it also means not specific Microsoft cloud. I'm talking cloud, Amazon, Google, it doesn't matter. Right? Cloud is cloud in this case. I mean, this discussion I want to have right now.
Well, if I talk from my experience, there are a lot of reasons for resistance. If there are resistance, you already mentioned some of them, like, for instance, where will our data be?
Mm-hmm.
Can I be in control of data?
Yeah.
What is the total cost of ownership?
Yeah.
It's comparison.
With an existing pre-leasing,
things like that. And there are a lot of mental and cultural barriers to overcome.
Well, it's a change process, huh?
It's a change
I mean,
process.
It's...
change process. From another point of view, as a potential customer, the offerings are not always clear to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got that feedback a couple of times as well.
Yeah. The offerings are not always clear. Sometimes it's implied. It's the whole package. What I want to do a la carte.
Yeah.
And then from an IT, pure IT perspective, people sometimes get worried, especially in the infrastructure.
Yeah, but the message I give to most of infrastructure people is, yes, the hardware is being, the physical hardware is being removed, and that's again, that's more a psychological discussion. But on the other hand, I think their jobs become richer. Because they start to play a more strategic role in positioning things. And I personally think because of playing a more strategic role, they become a more important player where the business will want to talk with. And I think it just has the opposite effect. Because suddenly you become a real huge impact on cost and cost saving that the business automatically sees you as an interesting candidate to talk with. So I try to see it from that angle, because I see a lot of people in infrastructure, especially infrastructure, but in IT in general, we're going to lose our job and we're going to lose control. And I'm like, no, I think you will become a viable sparring partner for the business instead of being IT. I'm sorry, just to put it in black and white, because now we see a lot of discussions. Yeah, we don't talk with IT. It's all they do is spending money and this and that. It's always too slow and it's always this and always that. And never this and never this. Well, now suddenly you become like, no, you want a service, fine. It's going to be delivered tomorrow and it's going to cost you that much. And then suddenly the business is like, okay, now we can talk. Because you become predictable as an IT department, which I think is what the business needs.
That's true, but that's called from an IT management point of view, but not from an engineering point of view. You have to get to that world.
I agree. I agree. But that's a matter of yeah, it's going to take some time for that. Yeah, I agree. From a pure engineering perspective, yes.
It's unavoidable, but I mean, it's like outsourcing, partially outsourcing contracts where you see the government will love you. And now they say you're part of it, and IT is working himself out of a job.
No, I agree. I didn't make the differentiation from the engineer. That's true.
It's a mental shift you need to make. That takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And takes time. Another thing is that the cloud is a barrier of itself.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to someone, we're going into the cloud. We're going into this or this in the cloud. Next thing they do is they Google. And then you got, they focused on the lots of negative comments.
Yeah.
And the disappointments are there. Depends on their starting point. What is the mental starting point?
That's why one of our advice is, especially when you start with public cloud and all, start with a small departmental application.
And try to keep the cloud concept for something which is predominantly IT-based or management talks, but not to the to the outside people.
Yeah.
To the outside people only see the flexibility that we're trying to offer to them. For us, it's part of a cloud strategy, but we're not going to make publicity about a cloud strategy.
No, I can understand it. But you use it as a mean for making your business and actually your service better. Yeah, I agree. But it is a mean. Cloud is, in the end, it's just a mean to improve or try to improve your business. Let's put it like that. Again, in some cases, it's not worth doing it because it will just backfire and you will have to invest in your organization with the net result maybe even negative. So, and that's the problem that we have with cloud, and not only with cloud. It requires some quite assessment of your situation, what you're doing. It requires an investment of time that you need to take in taking all those pillars and seeing what are the risks and etc. That's why I'm saying take a small departmental application and start with that. And if that one is successful, maybe take a second one. But it doesn't mean if those two are successful that the third one will be successful. No, not at all. But that's it. I mean, cloud is not a promise for every problem, yeah. That's pretty clear. Yes, please.
There's one risk that I haven't seen here, that if I rent some service from you,
yes,
you would guarantee the service at your door.
Yes.
And between your door and my door, there's wiring there.
I agree. Yes.
I'm in that situation today with my own company, because I rent from the holding
lease line or
a service that is SharePoint 2007.
Okay.
When I got into the SharePoint, I can read 4 or 5 pages and then suddenly it pops me out.
Okay.
And asks me 10 times my login and password.
Yeah. I agree.
The service is there.
I agree, but
service, they tell me it's my machine. And that is something that I don't see clearly. Who is going to take care of what? Unless you can come to me and say the service will be at your door.
Well, exactly.
In my door.
Exactly. There are three things. First of all, let's focus. There are two ways to tackle this issue. First of all, it's a pure architecture decision. What you typically see is we have a company. I'm going to drive. Okay, it has a door. Whatever. I need to drive it, otherwise I don't see it as a company. You have the cloud here. What we see is when a person is working at home, this is always a scenario you see. Okay. And then, indeed, the internet connectivity becomes a big issue as such, which is true, because the distance between this can easily be 6,000, 8,000, 9,000 miles and 300 different providers being routed. Architecture-wise, actually, I always propose to customers, you should solve this issue in a different way. When we're talking about cloud, we are not talking about public or private cloud. We talk about the fact that your cloud starts here with a minimal private cloud, and then it grows if needed on the demand. It might grow in public, but it means that this does not happen, but this always happens. You are connecting to your private cloud of your company, and the company is growing to the public cloud, might have separate deals when it comes to SLA, and even when some stuff is bad responding, it might have some minimum capacity here, or it might grow to another cloud somewhere else. So it's more an architectural decision in how you set up your cloud infrastructure. Again, the hybrid cloud is there, the answer for this. I don't believe in this. It's going to be more discussion like this. Mm-hmm.
Most of the we have a few robots spread into the company.
Yeah.
And my SLA says 99% availability. It means that the robot that is just behind your desk will try so many times a day to run an application and make a transaction.
Yeah.
And it will say 99.9 if the transaction is run within a certain.
Wow. Yeah.
But it is really measured at the desk of the user,
okay.
Not at the door of the server,
yeah.
Even if the door is in the company.
Okay.
We measure what really a user can expect from the system. That includes the desktop itself.
Okay.
It includes all of the wiring, all of the switches, all of the servers. And if any one of these features fails, the result is not there anymore.
Okay.
So
how do you measure?
Not what we supply.
Okay. Yeah, it's the perceived SLA.
Yeah, at the end of the user.
And
simulate transactions all day long in different points of the
code. Yes, as test points or sample points.
Test points.
And where does it fail in this scenario? Because you don't own control or because you... I agree. Now, there are a couple of things that's the only... You're right.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
No. But
today, I don't see a clear offer where all of the gaps are...
Well, it's actually possible if you would go with the leased line. We offer the technology that leased line providers can actually have a straight connection to our data centers. So the technology is there. What's not there yet is that it has been rolled out and been implemented and all that. But the technology is there, allowing you to have a real connection and control about the connection to our data centers. That's for sure. Because we know and we realize this is one of the missing pieces. So this is happening. And this also fits in this, because any connection between your private cloud and your public cloud, you need control over this. You need control. Yeah, but define you use the internet.
If my data is stored somewhere in the States and I'm here, and there's a routing problem somewhere along the way.
I agree. But that's why you have those deals with your leased lines. You're not talking about the internet anymore.
Yes, but that's for companies one of the most important things.
I agree.
The internet.
That's why in this case Microsoft is providing technology to have your leased lines and not internet anymore. As such.
Not at all.
Public means for us not hosted by you. Period. Yeah. Not running on-premise. We have no technology called Windows Virtual Connect, which allows you to have your private data center and or data centers acting on the same IP topology. You are in the same sub-range everything. So you can just access it as part of your own infrastructure. This has nothing to do anymore with the internet. No, not at all. Not at all. But Rudy will talk about that as well. Because it solves a typical issue I always talk about. Let's say you have an application running at Microsoft data centers. You hit the print button. Where's the printer? It's locally, on-premise. So with that technology, you're all in the same network. It will print as it normally, because it's part of your data center. It's just the location where the server is running is within Microsoft data centers. But from a logical perspective, it's running in your private data center.
Yes?
Hesitant. Yes.
If you end up in a crisis situation, then you can make your own priorities and decisions to restore pieces,
chunks
that are vital to you.
I agree.
Where if I just go to my company itself, to Paris, they will decide what is more important for them.
I agree.
So the optimization business in a crisis situation is easier to conceive when you control everything within the size of this room and where I have authority on all of the people, where I can hire four more people to help me and make all of the decisions within a few hours or minutes.
I agree.
I've lived two times via an infection last summer. We made all of restore pieces of the company just to make sure that some part of the business could continue,
mm-hmm.
although we did shut down the system for about 2 days.
Yeah.
But the ERP was working.
Well, again, I think for me that's fitting in this scenario. Your key assets, like your databases, your ERP system, I probably would set it there, put it there. And then only when burst is needed, when running everything is running in normal mode, it will automatically use resources of this. But as soon as you enter a crisis mode, even when the internet is cut through, it becomes back running on whatever on-premise. I mean, all your workers within your company can still do their job.
Yes, maybe I could say the same thing in another way. Probably when we're running a crisis, if you still have 10 or 15% of your power, you still alive.
Yes.
So 20% could be
exactly. 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 And that's more an architecture and a disaster recovery discussion than a pure public-private cloud. I always position it like this, and I think it's a best practice, to be honest. It's a best practice in that sense that you start, as a company, it's your responsibility to have a certain core assets available in case of huge crises. This is the way of doing things. Yeah? And then it will automatically grow, and it will grow when everything is running normal. Some servers will drop out, you will be replaced, whatever, that's the cloud doing its job. But when it's really, really, really necessary, your company can keep on running. Okay, it might be slower, some priorities will have to be cut, but that's a matter of deployment that you did beforehand, and the rest is just a matter of I mean, for me, that's more an architecture discussion than a cloud discussion as such. Because I see a lot of people always thinking about cloud in this scenario. There are only a few scenarios where I actually believe in this. I strongly believe in this. What do you define normal? I agree. And that's due to the internet and the popularity of the internet. But even from a latency perspective, this is where you might work like this. Let's caching and all fix this issue. The cost of the leased lines, let us fix by the company. Let's focus on the users. That's how I see it.